Welcome to another podcast at sliceoffice.com. One of our great sponsors, Madison Computer Works, joining us now, the owner, co-owner of Madison Computer Works, Brian Leese. Madison Computer Works has been around since, am I right, 1982?
That's what they tell me. It actually started before I jumped in by a year or two by my brother and father, but 1982 is when it started.
God, you started a business. I was so irresponsible in 1982. I couldn't even take care of myself.
You know that was typewriter repair days. That was before the PC era.
Right. Yeah, you look at movies and it's amazing what's in the scene. Well, you may work in one of the fastest changing industries that exists, and yet you've kind of kept the same edict over the years about personal attention to details, small business, and taking care of customers.
Correct. And that's our primary demographics that we do help is the residential, small, and medium businesses.
All right. Tell us what is new. You sent me a list of some of the things that people might be thinking about. And your first one was, how long until Windows 7 is no longer supported by Microsoft? Should I upgrade my older system?
Well, a lot of people are asking us that question now, especially because the sixth generation processors and seventh generation processors, those are chips that are used by Intel and such. Microsoft is already no longer supporting the seventh generation processors running Windows 7, meaning it comes up and flashes that it's running on not supported hardware and updates don't go through. Sixth gen processors, which are about a year old now, they're only supporting until July of next year, 2018. And then mainstream processors, like older machines we're talking, things that are older than, say, a couple of years, are going to be supported by Windows 7 until April of 2020, at which point you don't get updates. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, updates kind of patch holes, you know, like WannaCry and things like that. And if you don't get updates, your machine is vulnerable to attacks. The question of should I upgrade my older machine, the older chipsets and such, you know, old hardware, really should never, you know, you shouldn't upgrade to Windows 10 because there's no real drivers made by the manufacturer for that older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft...
Are you mainly talking about people with desktops here?
Well, desktops, laptops. If it came with Windows 7, keep it with Windows 7 and run it into the ground. And when you're ready to get a new machine with new hardware, buy Windows 10 on that new hardware so that you don't have to switch in a year or whatever. And besides, anything new you get will have those new generation processors that are going to require a newer operating system like Windows 10.
So what you're saying is it's very good that I've been so abusive to my laptops over the years. It kind of forced me into a replacement mode.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think a lot of people are going to be replacing as soon as the processors, as soon as Microsoft no longer supports Windows 7 or the processors don't support it anymore. The big problem you run into is a lot of people have programs that run on Windows 7 and they don't want to buy new versions of software that will work on Windows 10 because it's a big investment.
All right, and so do most people even know what they're running?
Some do, some don't. A lot of people know they have Windows 7 or Windows 8. I mean, it's easy to
Windows 8 was unpopular, correct?
It was. And when they fixed Windows 8, it was so unpopular they had to call it Windows 10. So Windows 10 is technically Windows 8 that's been fixed.
All right. So the long and short of it is, what should people do?
Well, the long and short is that if you have an old system, don't try upgrading it to Windows 10. Leave it as with the old operating system. And if you're going to purchase a new machine, you should probably be looking at getting Windows 10 at this point in time, unless there's an application you absolutely can't run on it.
So, you know, and 2020 is kind of the kill date.
Well, the kill date on the old stuff is April of 2020, but the kill date on sixth generation processors is next July, and seventh gen processors or eighth gen, which is are just coming out, has already happened.
And it really wouldn't be a bad idea to, either call or go to Madison Computer Works and talk about some of your options, right?
Exactly. If you're going to purchase, you know, new, just talking over what your plans are, what programs you're running, and what's going on in the industry makes a lot of sense so you get the right thing.
All right. The second line item you had is, what's the difference between this Office 365 and Office 2016?
Oh, yeah, I get that one a lot. Now, that one is basically the difference between subscription, where you pay a monthly fee, versus you own it. You buy it, it's yours. With Office 365, that means it's subscription. You're paying either a monthly or a yearly fee for using the product. The advantage with that one is, of course, that if they come out with anything new, new versions, whatever, you can download the latest version. When it's subscription-based, you always get the latest. So let's say in 2018 they come out with Office 2018. You can download it and install it. When you purchased the box product, like a copy of Office 2016, you own it. That means in 2 years or 4 years, you still have that old version of 2016. Of course, you know, you probably in the long run pay less by owning it. It depends. I mean, how many machines you're putting it on. Office 365 has tons of plans. So when someone says, oh, I've got Office 365, it tells us nothing other than they're paying for a subscription.
Okay.
There is a huge chart of different plans that have Office 365. There's personal parts. There's business Office 365. There's some that give you features like encryption or litigation hold. There are so many different plans with so many different features that short of sitting down with someone with that chart and showing them what the different Office 365, you know, subscription plans offer, there's really no way to for them to know, you know, what they're getting, everything that, or what they're missing in the plans when they buy one.
All right. Line item three. What about, I don't know if this is a rumor, or what is this with the government saying not to use Kaspersky?
Okay.
Did I pronounce that properly?
Kaspersky, yeah.
Yeah.
The intelligence service put
I knew the Kaspersky family. They lived on the south side of Milwaukee.
Really? You didn't know that last name? I don't think so. It's an unusual name, obviously. Intelligence Service put out a warning that mandated no government machines can have it on it. They're saying that they found there were ties or apparent ties between Kaspersky and the Russian government itself, and there was concern that there were backdoors and stuff into it. I've heard that they found stuff that indicated that it was actually, it had the back doors and things in there that gave them access to stuff that you wouldn't want them to. So, you know, if you're using Kaspersky as a product, we do recommend changing to...
What is it?
What do I think?
What is Kaspersky? Explain what it is.
Oh, it's an anti-malware product that was produced by a company or firm in Russia and apparently has back doors and strong ties to the Russian government.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's my
stop. Do many people use it in America?
Surprisingly, yes. We get in a lot of machines in our service center that have Kaspersky on it. I've always felt it was very invasive. Sometimes when I'd pull it out of a machine, it would, you know, it would mess up drivers or do things and stuff. Huh? And I was never a big fan and never recommended it as a good product. I mean, there's a lot of products out there for malware. A lot of people try and use the free stuff, which just doesn't work at all. And they don't realize it's not working, so they think they're protected. Things, you know, false sense of security is a good way of putting it. You know, people put on things like Avast, which I think is out of I'm not sure where that one's out of, but again, it's free software that, you know, that basically doesn't protect it. We tend to go with Webroot as our preferred. It's cloud-based, so you're not downloading definitions and trying to protect at your machine level. Instead, all your traffic, you know, goes through these giant servers that scan and clean it before it gets to your machine. That way it doesn't slow your machine down because you're not running it on your computer. You're basically just routing it through giant computers that do it for you. Webroot's like a $25 a year, you know, for a single-user program. Per, you know, per year. And it is based in America, so we feel more comfortable with that, and it's top-rated. So that's what I would recommend for people.
All right. There's lots of things that wake me up at night, usually at about 4 in the morning. I don't know why that time period is the time I wake up worrying about everything else that's going on in my life. Should I be worrying if I have, malware or encryption possibilities on my computer, even if I'm paying for protection?
Well, the answer is yes, because it doesn't come just through
downloading. Oh, great, Brian. One more thing for me to wake up in the middle of the night.
Well, should you be worrying? Okay. We've got bigger worries to worry about right now in this country and in the world. But I guess should you take precautions? Because, yes, anything can get encrypted. You can click on something. It could be a new version that nothing's detecting yet, you know, some new form of it. So the only way that you can truly protect your machine is to have true backup. And when I say backup, I'm not talking like Dropbox or, you know, or OneDrive or things like that. That makes a copy up in the cloud. But if your machine gets encrypted, including the stuff in your Dropbox, well, guess what? It encrypts the stuff up at Dropbox also, or at, you know, OneDrive. It's not a true backup. Backup software is, you know, things like Carbonite, where, you know, you mark your files and you have an off-premise copy of it. So let's say something happened. Your machine crashed. Your drive got encrypted. We can then restore those files, those, you know, from the backup itself.
All right. We'll take a break. Brian Leese from Madison Computer Works, 231-8000. Of course, they're on Island Drive over by CUNA off Mineral Point Road. We'll talk with him more next at sliceoffice.com. Brought to you by Madison Computer Works and many fine sponsors like the United Steelworkers. St. Vincent de Paul helps with vouchers for people whose homes or apartments have been destroyed by fire or flood, families that have gone through domestic abuse, families that have had to move, kids who outgrow clothes. St. Vincent de Paul stores are also a great way for you to help. Shop the St. Vincent de Paul stores throughout Dane County.
Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
You're listening to another podcast at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by Madison Computer Works. Brian Leese, the owner, co-owner of Madison Computer Works, with us. All right, so, you know, there's always the debate about whether people should buy Apple or not. Some people think Apple computers are immune to viruses. Are they?
The quick answer is no. They're not immune. Anyone who thinks they're immune just doesn't understand that how marketing works. These makers of malware, they don't want to infect one out of 100 computers, you know, they want to affect 99 out of 100. So if the majority of machines out there are PCs, they're going to make their malware to infect the 99 machines. And it's just a numbers game. Now, that means that there's not nearly as much malware made for Apple, but there certainly is Apple infections and malware out there. So yes, your Apple computer should, you know, get a copy of anti-malware software. Webroot, that I mentioned earlier, does make an Apple version that we put on for a lot of customers. There's also other products out there, and we do recommend if you have an Apple, protecting it. Is your chances of getting hit lowered? Sure, it's lower than it is on a PC, and that's just because it's not as prevalent or popular of a machine.
What do you do if you end up having your computer infected or encrypted?
Well, So if your machine gets infected or encrypted, it generally takes, you know, a professional to either get it cleaned off or nuke and pave, which is, you know, wipe it, get a fresh OS on there, put your programs back on, get things working for you again. Now, encryption, a lot of people ask us, hey, you know, should I just pay this encryptor and get the encryption key? Well, do you want to pay extortionists to try and, you know, and some don't even give you valid keys, so they're not even legitimate in extortion, yeah, right, if there's such a thing. But the answer, the short answer is no. Don't go paying them money and bolting. That's like paying off terrorists or whatever to get somebody back, and now they're going to, you know, hijack or steal people everywhere, you know. I guess what I'm saying is that it encourages them to continue on and gives them the money to do it. If it's infected, we don't have to always nuke and pave. We do sometimes if it's really a bad infection, but normally we can rip it out. But we use like 5 different scanners to scan the infected machine and get it cleaned off. That isn't something that an end user is going to have. In other words, it should be done professionally to get it cleaned up and then protected properly so it doesn't happen again.
Explain phishing, and is that the problem getting worse?
Phishing is a scourge. A majority of the customers who walk through our door these days are getting hit by phishing scams, and that's a PH, phishing. Okay. What phishing is it? They're using you to get the information they need to steal your stuff or to encrypt your machine. So an example would be you get an email and it says your bank account has you know, there's been activity on it. Click here to, you know, reset your password. And it takes you
to a
fake site.
Who would fall for that? Now, who would fall for that?
You'd be amazed how many people fall for these. A lot of times it'll be like your Delta ticket changes are here. Well, if you're flying on Delta and it's a numbers game again, you might just say, oh, okay, or, hey, your UPS delivery information is attached, and people click on it all the time. So the point is that they're using you to make the mistake of doing something. Sometimes it's a pop-up. You're just out, you know, at a site and you're browsing, and all of a sudden it pops up on your screen saying, Microsoft has detected a problem with your machine. Don't turn your machine off or you may damage it. Call this number or click this, you know, here to get the assistance or whatever. Another big one is people go to search engines to find something. Rather than going directly to their bank or to Charter or whoever they're trying to
hold them, yeah.
They search. Well, these malware makers put up false sites and everything to trick you into believing that it's your bank. And they'll make it look just like, you know, Charter or UPS's site or whatever. It's off by maybe a letter or two. And now you click on it. And it says put in your username and password. Well, guess what? You just got their information.
Now, that's not very nice of them.
Well, it's modern thievery. And, I mean, you know, credit card information. This is a big way that people are getting compromised. Also, if you call someone up and they say, you know, let's say you fall for it and you actually call someone or go somewhere, and they say they want to take control of your machine, don't let someone take control of your machine that you don't know or trust, period. Would you let someone into your house with a ski mask on? I sure hope not, because, you know, you don't have any idea who that person is or what they're going to do or what they're going to embed on your machine.
I have family members I won't let into my house, so.
Yeah, everyone has one or two in the family, right?
All right, so... You've seen these pop-ups where they tell people, you know, that the machine is infected, or even there's some pop-ups that tell people that they have been detected on a site the FBI is watching and they're legal trouble, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh gosh, yes. We've had people call us just panicked and everything. So what should you do if that happens? Well, your machine probably isn't infected yet. They're trying to get you to call or let them into your machine. If we're available, obviously, you know, if it's during work hours, I would say call into a place like ours and ask what you should do. But the bottom line is turning off your machine, even so far as to pull the power or hold the power button in to shut it off, is better than letting someone, you know, into your machine. Now, if you have one of our customer or computer care plans, where we can remote in and actually take a look at what it is, we can usually end the process in the background, you know, pull out whatever is on your screen. But for end users trying to end processes and stuff, I mean, you can control alt delete and try and end the process that's up on your screen if you know how to do that. But otherwise, a company like ours can get in the background. If it's after hours and you're concerned, turn off your machine.
By the way, that having Madison Computer Works be able to fix your computer while you're at home or deal with the problem or add a printer, such as in my case, that is so well worth it. I don't know. What is it, $100 a year?
Yeah. It, well, Okay, so Webroot's like $25 a year, just for the anti-malware, and our basic plans are $120, so it's about a $95. $95 more than just buying Webroot alone includes our computer care plans, well, our most basic one, which allows us to remote in and support you when you've got a problem. So, and we'll, you know, give like, you know, we'll do like 5-10 minutes. Anything more than 10 minutes, we do bill for our time, but still, you don't have to be without your machine. You don't have to run it in. You get help when you need it. It really, people love it. They just love it.
I do. And, you know, you even warned me, don't put your laptop on the bed without a book or something underneath it.
Right, because it also, you know, shows up on our monitoring screen,
right?
that oh, you know, your temperature was suddenly going through, I mean, you know, through the roof. I mean, literally, it was heat overheating. And so I called up and I said, hey, what's going on with your machine? I don't know, but, I mean, the heat, I was worried it was going to catch fire on you. I really was. And that's when I found out that you didn't realize that laptops have, you know, that little grating underneath for cooling and should only be run on a hard surface, not on, like, a covers, a bed.
Your lap.
Well, even your lap, you should
right.
have, like, a book or a
right.
board to run it.
Right, right.
And they call them laptops, but, I mean, I wouldn't use it on a lap without putting it on something.
All right, final question. What are managed services and SaaS products, SaaS
okay.
programs?
So managed services are services that are managed by someone else. Like, if you have your email being managed up in the cloud by, let's say, Microsoft, you know, Office 360, one of the Office 365 that gives you that, or your backups, as an example, or proactive services like those computer care plans we were talking about. Those are all managed services. Now, SaaS, or Software as a Service, as it's known, is where you're paying for that software. So, you know, let's say you're running it up in the cloud or whatever. You don't own it. It's you're paying for software as a service. So, like when we sell that Webroot license, it's really a software as a service. You're having us monitor it. It actually shows up in our dashboard if your machine gets infected. We can push cleaning and stuff. So you're, in essence, renting that for a year, that Webroot, and it renews every year. There's a lot of products now that are becoming software as a service or a managed service just because these software manufacturers don't want you to have a static product that gets old so quickly.
Sure, right.
I mean, each year in our industry is like 10 years in the car industry. So when you're running something 2 or 3 years ago and just renewing it, you don't have the latest protection or the right products, per se.
All right. All right, Brian, your phone number and where are you located?
Well, it's 608-231-8000. We are actually located in Middle Point Road behind Brugger's Bagels across from Oakwood Village. So it's 353 Island Drive is the technical address.
And your hours?
Our hours are from 8 in the morning for service till 6 at night. And then for sales, we open at 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 at night.
All right. Brian Lee.
Well, we are open on Saturdays now.
That's right.
In the summer, 10 to 2.
All right. Brian Lee from Madison Computer Works, thanks for coming to SlysOffice.com.
All right. Thank you.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.